And every morning tonight at Currytown Baptist Church, it's good to have everybody for our winter jubilee. And I tell you what, we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. And we're going to start off with a song tonight. And your hymnals is page number 230. But on the monitors tonight, do you know that you've been born again? Let's stand all over the house. Let's sing it together tonight.
Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? The Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from every sin and stain. Are you ready if the Lord should come? For today your soul should play. Can you break the curdle here, free from doubt and dread and fears? Do you know that you've been born again? On the second now, I know that I've been born on that bird. Thank the Lord now. Thank the Lord that I've been born again. Thank the Lord that I've been born again. I will never shed a tear for the flames of hell so near, for I call upon His name. Yes,
tonight. Aren't you glad we can know that we've been born again by the grace of God? What a blessing. I'm glad our Lord's living tonight. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. And we can worship Him tonight because He is alive. What a wonderful blessing tonight. The choir tonight's going to sing a song, I believe it'll bless your heart, called Free Indeed. And I believe it'll bless your heart. You can be seated tonight as we sing together.
Prepare the Lord.
tonight that it is free and free indeed. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song together. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Let's stand all over the house together tonight.
When upon life's failures you are tempted, it's lost. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Turn around, fellowship, as the choir comes down tonight. Back to our seats. Let's go into that second verse. Are you ever burdened with a load of care?
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, sing them one by one.
Conflict,
whether great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is all the role. Count your many many blessings angels will attend. Help and comfort giving to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Wonderful singer, remain standing fast.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good to see all of you tonight. I was telling Brother Brandon on the way up here, looks like spider veins up here. So I said, don't trip whatever you do. Amen. That'll be bad. We're glad to see all of you here. Got several churches visiting with us, and we're thankful that you're here. And good to have the Brent Rochester family with us. And Brother Daniel, always good to have him with us as well. And we're excited to see what God's going to do tonight. Now, we had a wonderful day yesterday, and so if anything goes wrong tonight, we're going to blame y'all, not us. Amen. So, but we're glad to have each and every one of you tonight. And we're going to pray and receive the offering tonight, and then the Rochester, Brent Rochester family is going to sing for us. And everything you give in the meeting is going to go to Brother Daniel, and we're going to take care of the Brent Rochester family. So please give liberally tonight. And let's help out the man of God. I appreciate looking forward to what is on his heart tonight. And so we're just going to get with it. We just don't believe in doing a lot of fluff around here. So we sing and get with the preaching. And so let's pray, and we're going to receive the offering. And after we pray, you can be seated. Brother Kenneth Humphrey, if you would, you pray for us.
Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Folks, this evening we're going to start off with a song Peter's going to sing, Lead Me to Calvary, good old hymn.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest thy forget thy thorn crown now, lead me to Calvary. Thank you.
great to be here at Currytown Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting our family to be a part of this meeting. Good to see Brother Daniel Buchanan again. Been many years since we saw him. I think out in Wyoming was the last time we saw him. And I told him he done shriveled up to nothing. just like me. I just tell you what, the wind's just going to pick us up and blow us away, I reckon. But it's good to be a part of this meeting. Thank you, Pastor. And it's good to be a part of Brother Noah Fry's church. Well, I love Brother Noah Fry. He's become a great friend of ours and preached many times at our church. Thankful for Brother Noah. I talked with him on the telephone the other day. Me and him share burdens together. And our main burden is motorhome troubles. He cries on my shoulder and I cry on his. You know, because all the time you're in the shop seems like paying for something that's broke. And that's part of the life, I guess, when you're on the road. But anyway, it's great to be here. I'd like to get Isaac to play a song for you on the guitar. It's a favorite hymn of mine. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Say a word and tell about our display table.
Well, it's good to be with y'all here this evening, and I apologize for bringing cold weather with us. I might as well take the blame for it because the preacher done told me it was my fault as soon as we got out of the van. But it's good to be with y'all here this evening. You know what? The Lord doesn't need warm weather to meet with us. He can meet with us even if it's freezing outside. It's warm in here, so it doesn't matter anyway. We do have our table out and back, and we have our CDs. Unfortunately, we're out of our first CD that our family did, but we have our second two albums out there, so feel free to take a look at those. And then also, we have an online music instructional website for guitar, and that's called thegospelworkshop.com, and Isaac is our guitar instructor on there. I think he picks pretty good. But if any of you are learning or need a good avenue of training for guitar, we offer is $24.95 monthly, and that is access to all of the lesson videos on our website. And it's either $24.95 monthly or $124 for a 6 month or $199 for a year. You can't beat that. I've always wanted to do a commercial, so this is the only chance I get. But if any of you are learning or would like to learn, please stop by the table after the service. Isaac will be out there and you can talk to him about that. Hope you enjoy this song. Be assured.
Seeking you. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Pray for a cousin of mine. His name is Kenneth. Kenneth is about 3 years older than me and raised in a Christian home for the most part. But he's an avowed atheist today. And my daddy went to witness to him the other day and tried to tell him about the Lord, and Kenneth said, I'm not interested. But you know, the Lord's seeking Kenneth, and he's pursuing Kenneth. I tell you, the Holy Spirit gets on his trail, he'll get interested. Because I did when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And, you know, we need to pray for him, pray for others like him. I read a story a while back about an atheist woman. She had several reasons she had come to know the Lord, and she had several reasons, she said, why she realized that God does exist. And she said one reason that she knew that God exists is because she realized that he was pursuing her. Isn't that right? If you're saved, you know exactly what she's talking about. The Holy Spirit pursues us. Hope you enjoy this song. It's about that. It's called Seeking the Lost.
Wanderers on the mountain stream, come to me, his best repeating, word to the master, speak
the fold.
In the fold.
The mighty Redeemer.
The mighty
Jesus the Lamb.
Jesus the Lamb.
For sinners slain.
For sinners. Arches are sore, even for thee, when salvation join the path to thy reward.
Those above,
going far,
upon the mountain,
upon the mountain,
bring the wanderer back again,
into the fold,
a mighty Redeemer,
a mighty Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb.
Thus it would go on, missions of mercy, following Christ from day to day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to
Jesus away.
Going above, upon the mountain,
bring the wanderer
back again,
into the fold,
a mighty Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain,
Jesus the Lamb,
Amen. Wasn't that good? Well, I appreciate them very much coming. And, you know, you got to be so careful when you ask somebody to come sing for you, because you never know what in the world that you'll get nowadays. And I appreciate their testimony. Well, Brandon called them and said, here's our standards for our music. And he said, we had no problem with that. I said, praise God, hallelujah. And they were a great blessing. I appreciate that, brother. And they'll be back tomorrow night. Hope you'll be back as well. And they was talking about atheists. And I was reading something the other day. And said a man came to a preacher and said that he was an atheist. And he said, I don't believe there's a God. And he said, you know, you can always look at the ground and you may be convinced there's no God. He said, but there's no way you can look to heaven and all that's up there and think there's no God. And, boy, this world's blind. And I'm glad that we have the answer. I'm glad that Jesus is still saving sinners and still seeking after those wanderers. And many of you here this evening, you know that. You've been saved. And I don't know many Christians that hadn't gotten away from God at some point in time. Sure, I'm glad He doesn't leave us alone. And if you're truly His child, He's always after you, always convicting that heart. And it's not much what you want to hear today. Too often we today want to hear the good side of it. We want to hear about the radical grace, how we can live any way we want to. But I was reading something the other day. Brother Daniel said the old timers believed grace was a call to holiness, not a call to live any way you want to. And we need to get back to that today. And I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate Brother Daniel being with us. And he's been my friend for a long time. I believe he preached one of the first revival meetings we ever had down in the small building. And he's been a great help and blessing to me. And I know anytime I need some encouragement, I'm calling. And he'll be a help to me. And you know, a lot of preachers say, well, I'll pray for you. And he actually will. You ever get on the phone with him, every time he'll say, let me pray with you before we go. And boy, you can have revival on the phone. And so I appreciate this dear man of God. Give him your attention. And Brother Daniel, you come and preach for us tonight.
You, Pastor. Amen. Appreciate you. Amen. Lady Brandon, brother. Holy Father, we love you tonight. You're so precious to us. Oh, God. Our world's in such trouble. churches are in such trouble. Thank you, God, you still got mercy on us. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God, that while on others they are calling, you didn't pass us by. Lord, our hearts blessed tonight. God, the church is going on. These dear people have come to hear from you. And God, if they've got a hungry heart, they won't leave here like they come. And I pray, God, may the Holy Ghost lead us to the green pasture. God, to the still water. Your little sheep, God, they need to glean tonight. I pray, God, you'll take this unworthy vessel. God, this unworthy instrument, you'll take me, God, to yield to you. God, I know there ain't nothing good about me but you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. I'm so glad I know you. Thank you for letting me know you. Not just know about you, but know you. I want to thank you, Lord, for this singing family. God, what a heritage. Oh, Brother Harold. Pray that the old rock altar, you give him a family that can sing. God, give him all these grandchildren that can sing. My God, I praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for those here tonight called into the ministry. Pray you'll encourage your heart in this frustrating day. Pray, God, for those you're going to call. Oh, Lord, let us know we got hope in you. My God, as long as the Holy Ghost is here, we got hope. You're going to be here when Jesus comes. In the church. Thank you, God, we got the mandate. Thank you, dear God, still care about us. Thank you, Lord, still care about that lost sinner. Glory to your name. Give you glory, honor, and praise. Fill us with your spirit. God, don't let us, Lord, leave this week the same. God, we're not here for a show. This pastor's not here for a show. God, we're here to get something from you. My God, do something for us. On the inside. God, change us. God, give us victory, power, and boldness in this wicked world. And all that you do, we'll praise you. Christ's name. Amen.
Turn to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. I'm thrilled God saved me.
If you're here tonight, and I really believe what I'm about to say. If you're here tonight, you did like I did. I made two dry runs at it before God saved me. And the reason being, I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand it. And I remember when the Holy Spirit took Romans 10:9-10, opened my eyes up to Christ. I'd never seen it. Being taught it, but I'd never seen it. All I know that I was going to hell and all. I knew that. And if you've ever tried to get to God and you missed it, I guarantee you, God will be back down the road. Oh, yeah. He knows your heart. You know why? Talk about these atheists. I've talked to some. You know why they're atheists? Because they tried to get saved and they did. And they said there ain't nothing to it. If their heart had been right, if repentance and faith had been in their heart, God would have saved them, or if not God. It's not God's fault if you're not saved. It's not God's fault at all. Because if you come like he said, come, he'll save you or he'll cease to be God. Because God can't lie. And I'm glad there's some things that I don't have to wobble on that about that I know's right. No, the blessed Holy Ghost, how precious, how gentle, tender he is. You know what the secret of the Christian life is? It's walking close enough to God that you can daily worship him. Daily worship God. A lot of people are their needs-based prayers. All they do is they take God their grocery list. That's all they ever do. And they never learn to worship him. God desires your worship more than anything about you. Jesus told the woman at the well, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's not always out loud and audible. That's praise. Worship's more than just praise. Worship's how you live. Worship is everything about you. You worship God when you're honest. You worship God when you pay your debts.
You worship God when your word means something. That's right. Worship God. But when you really get zeroed in, what real worship is, it is calculating, trying to evaluate the worth of God. Now you think about that. When you try to think about, meditate, that's another big thing that if you're going to live for God, you got to learn to meditate. You got to learn to think. You got to learn to let God have your mind. Man, worship God and tell Him how valuable He is to you. That's right. I tell you what, God loves us. Prayers, it's a cycle. Holy Spirit will burden you about what to pray for, and then you pray it, and Christ mediates it to the Father, and then the Holy Spirit bears witness with it. Prayer, most important part of prayer is worship. You don't worship God at church, you ain't worshiping at home. That's exactly right. And it takes time to be holy. It takes time to know God. I mean to really know Him. Paul gets to the end of this thing, and his greatest desire, that I may know Him. Well, you know God through experience. I'll tell you how you really know God, is to get in this book and dig it out. The deep things of God is how you know Him. I like to know how God thinks. I like to know how God does things. I want to know why He does what He does. Knowing the ways of God. Very important. You're going to be discouraged all the time. You don't learn that. I love this scripture right here. My old pastor, Brother Mike Hodge, he preached from this, and his title was Advertising for Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the greatest thing you can ever do for a man. The greatest thing. Oh, Lord. To live in such a way that you can, the Holy Spirit, can share His burden for another person's soul with your spirit. That's what, one thing of prayer, God shares His burdens with you. Now we make a blanket statement, the Lord died for all men, I'm not going to argue with that, and the Lord loves all men, I'm not going to argue with that, but I want to find out who He's really after. He ain't really after everybody at the same time. You ever preached, done anything, you know that. They son, He really is going after. And when you got saved, Brother Britt done said it, He really come after you. Or you wouldn't be sitting here. He sought you out. Boy, I tell you, there's an old boy in the United States Navy. He come to church out there, and I carried a burden for him. And he'd come in about maybe a year ago, Christmas time, and said he got converted. And I was thinking today how special it is when the Holy Ghost lets you know, I love that man. I love that woman. I love that boy or that girl. I mean, let you feel it. God's love for somebody. But if that's the ones He'll really give you responsibility to carry a burden for. Man, let's pray. I got a cousin ain't saved. Every time I think of him, I want to cry, shout. I feel God's love for him. I mean God's love for him. That's a special thing. Amen. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Now that's it right there. That's the secret right there. I guarantee you one thing. God's little young'uns come down to God's house to worship God. He'll be in the house. He'll be in the house. He loves to be exalted and magnified and glorified. And the Holy Ghost will help you all day worship Christ. Oh, yeah. You ain't got to worry about that. It's noise. He wants in the house. Hey, business picks up when He gets in the house. You say, well, God's everywhere. Well, we're not going to argue about that. I hope you know what I'm saying ain't that. I'm talking about when He manifests He's in the house. Somebody can be in your house hiding in the closet. They can be in the basement. You don't even know they're there. But if they come upstairs where you're at, you're going to know they're there. When God's Holy Ghost By the way, if he's in you, he flows through us like a river. God, and we're to minister Christ. And when God the Holy Ghost ministers Christ through us, he gets in the house. Awareness of it. I'll tell you what, I can't even tell you, Brother Rochester, there's men, what year is you born? 57, you're older than me. He was born in 57, that's a good year for cars. I was born in 1960. That's when they made the Batmobiles, you know, in 59, 60. But there's boys and girls that grew up with us. And they know what it is to be around the glory and the power of God. They've seen it when they was children. But they can't find it no more. And I believe some of them that ain't even converted. If the word got out, God is really in the house. I don't believe you'd have enough room for it. People are starving for the glory of God that really know Him. There ain't nothing like that in 10 million worlds. It's when God comes in and the holiness of God settles a place. And we begin to weep and repent so we can really worship Him. What gave hope to this story? It was noise. He was in the house. Why in the world's four men going to go to all this trouble? Why is this sick man going to allow them to take him up there, go through all that heat and all of that sacrifice and all that difficulty had they not believed Jesus was in that house? And I'll tell you one thing. You get Jesus in the house, people drive 2 or 3 hours to find him. Now, I'm just serious. There's just no substitute for the glory of God. Oh, it's the most precious thing there is. Now, Jesus is the great attraction. I appreciate good singing and good preaching. I've never done none, but I've heard some men do it. I appreciate all that. Christ is the great attraction. He's what we've got to offer. The Word of God. We've got the mandate. We've got the commission. We've got the truth, and we've got the presence of God, and the world ain't got that. Amen. Boy, when He gets in the house, I mean when the helper gets in the house, when the healer gets in the house, when the one can give you hope gets in the house, when the one that can hide you from your sin gets in the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad there's been some times in my life I got around where Christ was in the church. Manifesting Himself. You know what? When the Holy Ghost makes Christ real, the love of God gets real. The grace of God gets real. The holiness of God gets real. My God in heaven, that gets you just a little foretaste of what God's got on the other side. Amen. It's good. Man, I'm going to try to preach this. I don't know if I'm even going to get to it. His noise abroad. Now watch this. Straightway. Hey, you like that King James Elizabethan word? Straightway. The way is straight. What that means, immediately. Amen. Immediately. Straightway. Many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached a word unto them. He's not there to do a healing campaign. He's there to preach a word unto them. The message is always before the miracle. That's right. Praise God. God honors preaching. Matter of fact, He loves it. He loves it. Now, they heard Jesus is in the house. I may just read these verses, but when they heard that the Lord was in the house, can you see them take off running? As fast as they can. You know why? Because Jesus had a reputation. He had fame. See, folks, that's why God help us to live in the victory that Christ died to give us. You know why Jesus bled and died on the cross? Not just to save you, but to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Not just so the Holy Spirit would be in you, but to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, what gave Jesus fame was people had seen those that had been healed by him. It wasn't some phony baloney pie in the sky. That meant people being raised from the dead, people that had been healed, and they knew he was real. That's what this world needs to see, some real Christians. I mean some real ones. Excited about the story. I love to tell the story. You know what old Brother Oliver Big Green come on the radio broadcast with? I love to tell the story. Amen. When God's helping you, it never gets old. He makes it exciting. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit's on Amazing Grace, it's like you've never sung it. You never get enough of it. These old hymns, these songs y'all sung tonight, that born again song, I ain't never heard that. I like that. I want to stand up firmly that I know I've been born again. People in this world need to see some people that believe something. I mean, my God, if you go to church and they're down there, they look just like come out of a bar and they ain't a bit of difference in the music they turned off on the radio than what they get in the church. Where's the power? Where's the difference? He preached a word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. Ain't that something? Now, if you, let me just give you a few thoughts about this man that they bring him to the Lord. This man right here has had a paralytic stroke. That's what I've studied this, and that's what they say. I'm talking about a man paralyzed. Maybe from his neck down. Paralytic stroke. He's got the palsy. He can't move. He can't do one thing to get to the Lord. Somebody's got to get him to the Lord. Sinners can't get to God apart from the church. Because you got to hear the truth somewhere. God doesn't save you watching birds fly through there. There's got to be a basis for what you believe. Faith coming by hearing by the Word of God. Lord God's, there's four men in this story that got under a burden for their friend. And I'll tell you one thing, the first thing had to happen here for this story to be real, guess what the first consent had to be? It had to be of this old boy that was had the palsy. He had to believe. Now watch this. If you're going to go to all this trouble, you've got to believe that man down there in that house has got the power to help you. He might not help you, but he's got the power to. Amen. And I really believe you got, in his case, you'd have to believe he would do something for you. If they could just get him to Christ, he'd have pity on him. That's going to be one more chore to get him to Christ through all this crowd. But so what they need is these men. They need to get this man access to Jesus. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. How do you get a man's ear when you got smartphones, computers? I'm not against those, I use them. That's the best thing God ever gave a preacher, is all that study material on a laptop. How do you get a man's ear? Sports, entertainment, amusement, a million distractions. How are you going to get somebody's ear? You ain't. Ain't nobody but God can. You can witness to a man, but what's going to make that real to him and get his attention? The Holy Spirit will. That's where you're going to be wise. And you've got to be watching for those God's moving on. When you've had a witness to people, you've got to have discernment, walk close enough to God to know when God is working on somebody. God in His providence. Here's this man on a mat. Man on the mat. He's fallen and he can't get up. He's in the place of desperation. That's where he's at. But thank God, even though he's got a great need, he's got four real good friends. Care about him. Concerned about him. Somebody got consumed with his need. Boy, this man, he probably knew one time what it was to walk. He probably knew what it was at one time to have a normal life. Now he doesn't have a normal life. I tell you, sin's broken. That's what this is a picture of. I'll tell y'all something. We're living in a day. Now, young folks, let me tell you something. Them crack babies that were born in the 80s are the mamas and daddies now. Are you listening now? I want to tell you something about Adolf Hitler. You ever heard of the Blitzkrieg? The Blitzkrieg was when Hitler would invade a nation like Poland or like France or like Romania, any of those nations. He would go in there rolling thunder. For days, they'd never stop. Those soldiers were in those tanks. Fast as they'd go in Panzer tanks before they made the Tiger tank. 100 hours at a time. Rolling, just stopping for fuel. You say, how in the world did they do that? France and England and America couldn't understand what. How are they doing that? They're like superhumans. You know how they done it? In the 1930s, the Germans legalized and made crystal meth. All them soldiers was on crystal meth. The whole war. And it got so bad, 10 million addicts in Germany, they had to outlaw it being illegal, but they still, Adolf Hitler was on drugs for 12 years. That's why he made the decisions he did. Now listen to me. What crystal meth does, it takes away a person's empathy. How are you going to explain women forsaking their children now? Tell them to go get high, let their young ones go hungry. No empathy, because it deadens the conscience. You can slay somebody like a man done years ago in Asheville, North Carolina, killed him and took the cheeseburger out of his hands and sat down and was eating it till the law got there. How do you sear your conscience like that and reprobate it? One way is drugs. What's America been on for 10 years? Crystal meth. Meth. They have no empathy. No love. No compassion. And I'll tell you, if you get on that stuff, you can't get off of it. It takes about an act of God. What am I saying? How are you going to break through to such bondage? How are you going to break through to all this atheism in America now? And this spirit of the Antichrist? All this deception. I'll tell you, you ain't breaking in on them. Ain't but one can do that. We're in different days than our grandfather was in. We're not in a day when everybody feared God and believed the Bible. We're in a day of skepticism everywhere. But it's going to take some raw power to reach people in this hour. Oh, this old boy, he's unable to walk. What a picture of the lost man. He's unable to please God. Sin's disabled him. Oh, a lot of times, I'm sure sinners look in the mirror and say, I can't believe what I've become. I can't believe the monster I am now. I can't even cry no more. That's where, oh, if they knew down in the house of God, there's some real help. And we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, this man had four friends. Number one, they had a cause. Number two, they had a concern. Number three, they had a compassion. Number four, they had a conviction. And then they had a commitment. And they had a consecration. And they had a courage. And they had cooperation. And they had a compulsion. Lord, doesn't it make all the difference when we witness or pray or preach with a compulsion? That desire for God. Ain't nobody but the Holy Ghost can put that in you. Brother Mike, they had a cause bigger than themselves. They had a love for lost people. I tell you what, folks, the devil's going to rob you of that. It's going to take time before God and in this Word and obeying the Lord to keep your heart warm toward lost people, because it's such a difficult day. But may God do something for us. Hey, God, stir us again in this hour. Boy, these men had a concern. They got a cause and they got a compassion. They're willing to labor for this man's body and for this man's soul. And they're willing to cooperate. I'm not going to preach one thing that you don't already know. But I want God to help me be the second witness what your pastor's preaching. And you say amen to this Bible. It's right. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Their labors together with God. We're God's husbandry. We're God's building. We are in cooperation with the Lord. It doesn't matter who gets recognized. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. Jesus gets all the credit anyhow. He gets all the glory anyhow. Who's Paul? Who's Cephas? I tell you, Paul's nothing. Cephas is nothing. God's everything. To God be the glory. Great things He's done. No matter glory in His presence, He'll get all the glory. God's men servants whom you believe. We'll let God reward the preachers, but we're going to worship God. You're saved tonight because God saved the preacher and called him and sent him. Brought you up. Hey, we'll just blame God for all that good stuff. Anything bad about me, blame me. Anything good about me, blame God. Amen. We're God's building. We're God's husbandry. Where God gives the imagery of an agriculture, bearing fruit. He gives the imagery. Of course, bearing fruit in a garden, you got to weed it. You got to work it. It's a lot of labor. You got to sow the seed. You got to stay with it. You got to understand their seasons in the year. And there's certain crops, it's early crops. Certain crops are late crops. Some crops grow better in some places. Some soil's more fertile than others. Some's more rocky. Some's got to be rooted. Some's got to be stumped. Some's got to be prepared. It's all different in the work of God. Except one thing. Jesus has answered every building. We're God's building. We're stones. We make up God's building. These men were willing to, they had a cause. They was willing to commit. They was willing to cooperate, to work together. They was willing to comply, to do their part. They were willing to condescend. Boy, that listen. That's what you got to serve God in humility. Say, preacher, I've been praying. Nobody appreciates it. I know who appreciates it. The one that counts. Amen. These men wasn't worried about self-exaltation. They wasn't worried about self-promotion or selfishness or self-righteousness. They had a friend and they heard Christ was up there and they knew He could help them. Thank God they might not have known much, but they knew that man, Jesus of Nazareth, could do something for them. I'll tell you right now, there ain't a sinner in this world that Jesus Christ can't save. He's got the power, amen. You know, drug addict, he can't clean up either. If they'll come to Him like He said come, He'll clean them up. Hey, man, aren't you glad? For we got a message. We got praise God. I said this so many times, I'm repeating myself 1,000 times probably. But if you could take salvation and the glory and the victory and the joy of it and put it in a bottle, it'd be breaking into the church to steal it. Oh, that's right. I tell you, this peace God give me, just the peace. Just the peace. I can't tell you, Neil Queen, how worried I was about going to hell before God saved me. And just the peace and knowing I ain't a going. Hallelujah. That's enough right there by itself. I tell you, I got peace and I got Christ. Hallelujah. And one day I'll go be with Him and be a whole lot like Him. Amen. Common ground of the church is the preeminent glory of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, his work, if any man's work abide, he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. You know what? I know that's right. I know God's going to reward us. And I'll be honest, if I know my heart and I don't know it, but if God will show me this ain't right, I'll apologize. Hey, that ain't what keeps me going. It's that reward. I tell you what keeps me going is Him. It's Him. Hey, God's done paid me off. If God never gives me nothing else, God has already paid me off when He forgave me my sin and made me righteous in His sight. We'll let God promote us. We'll let God exalt us in due time. All that's up to Him. And we'll just be God's humble, unworthy servants, which we are. Boy, I tell you what, these men wasn't satisfied to do nothing. I tell you what, if this old boy ain't going to get to Jesus, it ain't going to be their fault. I tell you, when God puts somebody in your heart, if you say, Lord, if they don't get to You, I don't want it to be my fault. I want to do my little part. and try to tell them and go up there, that old boy laying on the mat. They said, son, we know you've got to get out in the community, but we're here to tell you what that man down there at that house has done for others, and what he's done for others he can do for you. Aren't you glad for that? It is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. These men cared when it mattered. They didn't have 50 years to get this thing done. They cared when it mattered. And that put a compulsion in them, knowing they ain't got 1,000 years to get this thing done. For God so loved the world, aren't you glad for that? That He gave. If you love, you got to give. I ain't talking about just money now. I'm talking about a whole lot of things. Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, cause the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. Now I've got to hurry right quick. They have the same cause. They have the same object. They have the same burden. They're going in the same direction. They got the same cause. They got the same motive. And they got the same answer. That's why this worked. Praise God. Hey, we're telling men you can be saved by the grace of God through the blood of the crucified risen one. Amen. We got the blessed opportunity to tell men how to know God. I'll show y'all something. If the Lord, think about this. I know there's people in here probably got a lost mom or dad, or a husband or wife or children, or brothers or sisters, uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews and cousins, family, friends. We all got it. I want to tell you something. If you'll quit praying, then God will keep your boy out of hell. And if you'll start praying, God save him that you can get glory out of his life. That's the thing right there. God didn't save you to keep you out of hell. He saved you to make you like Christ. He saved you to get glory out of your life. That no hell part's just one of the fringe benefits, and I love it. God save my husband. He'll be a better husband. Wrong prayer. God save my husband. He can bring glory to you. There's a woman up there in Caldwell County many years ago praying that God save her husband, and his mean to her wouldn't go to church, and she wanted a husband that would bring her, be a good example to the children, and God saved him. I mean, God really saved him. He got so saved, he giving out tracts, witnessing everybody, embarrassing her. She said, God, I wanted him saved, but not that saved. Folks, want this church to grow, that Christ would be glorified. I'll tell you, that old boy, if God heals him for that paralytic stroke, he'll tell it everywhere he goes. Christ will be glorified. Christ will be honored. Those four men's going to get blessed. Everybody in that whole area, yeah, their faith is going to be increased. And the church is going to be have something to shout about and encourage them and stick in the devil's face and say, you see, God's still doing it. Boy, you see somebody get saved, it gives you hope God can save somebody else. Ruth was faithful, just being a little gleaner. She didn't know the handfuls of purpose was coming. She didn't know Boaz was coming. Praise God, she's out there gleaning that field. She's about to own them. Now, you can't be serving God, folks. Amen. Notice right quick the difficulties these men had to overcome. They had to overcome the difficulty carrying this man. He's a heavy man. I don't care if he weighed 125 pounds, you carry him long enough, he'll get heavy. Over rocks, they don't have paved roads. And not only that, they got the crowd in the way. And they had to get past the crowd to get that man to Christ. When they showed up, there's 1,000 reasons to turn around and go back. We can't get to him. His crowd ain't going to let us through. I'll tell you what, these friends had to keep their focus on this boy's need and on Christ. And if they got their eyes off the need of this boy and got their eyes off of Christ, they'd have turned back. You can't be like the crowd and get anybody to Jesus, no how. Boy, you'll lose focus, you'll lose faith, and you'll lose fervency. Notice this. In that day, they had to get above the crowd. They got above the crowd, they got on that roof. That's right. You got to get above the crowd. Don't matter what every other church is doing. Don't matter what everybody else is doing. You got to get above the crowd to see Christ. They have never seen Christ. Had they not come above the crowd? They carried him up them steps. That ain't no easy thing. and steps that go up the side of that house to get up there. That's where they relaxed on top. That's where God's got such a tender heart. He said, put banisters around the top so your little young'uns and so your friends come over. They won't fall off the roof. See how practical God is? So they go up there on top of that roof. They relax. And they go up there. They fellowship. Sometimes they'd have a room up there. A lot of times they wouldn't. And they go up there. They know one thing. They've got to get this man to Christ. And just like God, God's going to make it difficult for them. The work of God's difficult. It's hard work. But there's a lot of discouragements in it. Amen. Mark 2:4, right quick. I'm about done. When they could not come nigh for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they broken it up, they let down. They let it where on the sick of the palsy lay. Jesus preached the word unto them. Mark 2:2. Luke 5:17. Of the preaching of Christ here, he talks about it had an element of teaching and the Lord's communicating the truth. And when the truth's believed and the word of God's delivered, there's power there for miracles because God's word gives faith. God's word gives encouragement. God's word gives repentance. I tell you, the answer to our problem is anointed preaching. Say, I want our preacher to preach in power. Then you pray in power for it. Young preacher one time, this is a good story. Young preacher one time asked this man preaching under the anointing of God. He's just starting out, this young preacher. Thank God, young preachers, when they're called of God, they want the power on them. They want to be used. I mean, that's one of the signs of it. They want God to use them, and they know that in themselves they can't do it. He said, I said, how in the world did you get where you could preach like that? You know what the answer to that was? You'll never preach in power till you pray in power. Well, that's right. Now, if the Lord lets me one night, I want to emphasize praying for each other and praying for your pastor in this church. Man, what if while he's preaching, you're up here standing with him in your heart, praying. That word will go out in power, and we get to working together. Boy, they tear up the top of this house where they've laid branches down and put plaster. I'll tell you, can you see the Lord down there? All that dust getting all over his face. He's just a grinning because he knows, hey, somebody willing to do whatever it takes to get somebody to him. Boy, Lord's thrilled by that. Amen. Lord just loves. He delights in grace. There's nothing God delights in like grace. He loves manifesting grace. He's about to manifest a lot of it right here. Notice the difficulty carrying that man. The crowd, discouragement. They got to climb up the stairs. That ain't an easy thing, keeping that boy from falling off that pallet going up those steps. And then the complexity of lowering him down to Christ. They got to break through enough of that roof and it not cave in around them where they're at. And they got to keep from dropping that old boy when they let him down. I mean, there's a lot of ways this can go real bad. But when you're doing God's work, He'll help you do it right. Tell you what my pastor said to illustrate this. He said up at Barry's Chapel back in the 1950s, probably you folks down here never heard of him, had an old red-headed preacher up there named Dayton Jones. Just a powerhouse of a preacher. And there was a fella at the back of the church, a man, that they'd tried to win to the Lord a long time. And every time they'd get to the invitation, he'd run out the door. Wouldn't stay. When God got to deal with him, he'd run out the door. Old Brother Mike Hobbs said that night, the fire of God fell in that place, and that man, instead of going out the door, he come toward the altar. Said he got down there and all that power and glory. He said he seen a man come up to him. He knew that sinner had no confidence in that man. He said the devil's still trying to get that man. He said, I just wedged in between them. Don't you deal with people that ain't got no confidence in you. You let somebody they don't know if you have to. I ain't trying to throw water on you. I'm just saying we need some discernment. He said that man got saved that night, and that's a big story. And they like to tore the church down, man, knocked a old pot belly stove, knocked a pipe over, and had to throw the stove out the window, snow everywhere outside, put the window down, kept on praising God. That's what they done. He said 300 people at one time on their feet shouting a praise of God when that man got saved. Said the next day the old janitor's out there and he's picking up the pieces of that old stove. His byword was L. He said, L, preacher. He said, it's all here. He said, we put it back together, put the pipe back up. And he said, preacher, don't you think that there's angels out here catching that stove when we throwed it out the window? Old Mike Cox said, if you see me over on the hillside of glory talking to an angel, he said, I'm going to ask you about that now. We throw the stove out the window. Hey, what I'm talking about, glory to God, there's always difficulties. Boy, these old boys, what a compensation. It was a cost, but what a compensation. They say, old Simon Peter, this is his house. I bet he wasn't worried about anybody paying to fix that house, that roof. Oh, no. Now, they wasn't no problem. I guarantee you, anybody there saved, they said, let me pay to fix that roof. Now, people get all excited about somebody getting saved. This man got healed and saved both. Notice here, the great Holy Ghost in our life, the way they brought Him to Christ reminds us. He called us, He carried us, He cared for us, He corrected us, and He compelled us to Christ. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, when he saw whose faith? All five of them. He saw the man on the bed and the four other men. He saw their faith. He saw the faith of all of them. Ain't that good? He saw the faith of the four that got him there. But the man that's going to get forgiveness, he's got to have faith to get forgiveness. They've all got faith. Boy, these four men got this man to Christ. Whoever's going to play the piano, you come on. I'm about done. The complexity, though, of this situation. Well, here's all these Pharisees. You know, the Lord told him, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. He said, I want you to let everybody see that what you come in here with, you got victory over when you leave. Ain't that a blessing? And then you got them Pharisees out there, they got to run their mouth, you know, and saying, what did you say? So your sin's forgiven? Well, you ain't God. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus said, okay, you boys, you so smart, let me ask you a question. Is it easier to say your sins be forgiven you? That's invisible. Ain't nobody see that but God. Or to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk. By the way, it takes God to do either one of them. And so the boy would know he's forgiven. He said that. And so they'd all know what God done for him. He picked his bed up and walked. Ain't God smart? Jesus said, be a good cheer. Cheerio. That's one of them Brit words. Cheerio. That ain't Southern language. Cheerio. Cheer, be a good cheer. Man, just have you a fit. Your sins are forgiven you, son. Aren't y'all glad? Aren't you glad tonight that if you pray, God put your boy, your girl, your family on your heart, your friend, that when you go down to pray, you don't have to worry if God loves them or if God's got the power to save them. You say, God, give me the faith to believe you. Let me tell you something. I have never seen the Holy Spirit. But Chris Simpson, I've never seen the Holy Spirit promise me in my heart he's going to save somebody that he didn't do it, and those that ain't got saved yet are going to. If he ever tells you he is, he is. Isn't it good to pray that you know that? I'm not talking about making yourself blind. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost. It's like old man at Beasley used to preach. You pray till it's in your heart until it gets in your hand. It gets in your heart before it gets in your hand. God gives you the promise and then lets you see it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Y'all been so good to listen tonight. God's liberty's in this pulpit tonight. Just as much as a man could want. But the Lord didn't send me down here. Brother Mike, he's got many sermons he could preach, and I guess I got many that I could. God really put this on my heart. Church, it's labor to win folks to God. It's labor. But the soul's worth it. It's worth it. Because that one, you say, well, God ain't saved my family. But you know what? You get concerned about somebody else's family, you watch God save yours. Amen. Say, every one of you women in here has got a saved husband. You ought to be praying. You ain't carrying that burden. You ought to be praying for these women that don't have a saved husband. That ought to be your ministry. Don't care. Your children saved and serving God, you'll be so thankful to God that you pray for those that their children's lost. Ain't no need sitting around criticizing them. They didn't raise them right. That's water under the bridge, whether it's true or not true. Well, what good's that? We need mercy. And we need mercy on each other. Holy Father, I want to thank you tonight for this dear pastor. God, for Lord just being obedient to you. For Brother Brandon, for this choir that blessed us. God, Brother Rochester, this family that blessed us. These dear people that we got to see again. It'd be worth God me coming down here just to see them still serving you. God, the little lady down here at the front looks like Vestal Goodman. Thank you for letting her live. Thank you for God. Thank you, Lord, for these old boys been staying with it. Lord, they love you. I pray, God, may you do a great work in this meeting. Great God, there's one here tonight, lost, save them. Help us to do your will. We'll give you glory. Okay, I'm going to give this service to Brother Mike just a second. While you're sitting there, if you're not able to come to this altar, ask God to give you a real burden. I know we try to witness to people and be an influence, but I mean zero your heart in on people. And you ask God to give you the grace to help be the answer. Folks, look up here. I'm going to tell you this story. My second pastor is Buren Hastings. Brother Buren Hastings went to see an old boy. He took a man with him. He never did say anything. The man he took, quiet, real reserved. He went coon hunting and fox hunting with this old boy they went to witness to. If you go witness him with Brother Buren Hastings, he'd always talk about things a while. Then he'd say, well, you know why we're here. We're here to talk about you soul. And Brother Buren said he couldn't do nothing, didn't see no response in him. And he said, I want to pray. Thank you for letting us talk to you. I want to pray. And that man, that never said a word. Never, just so bashful and shy. Brother Buren said he prayed. He said he looked up and he was going to go out the door. And that little quiet, meek-mannered man just put his arms around him and stood there and wept on his shoulder. And that brought that man to Christ. That kind of love. You can send a text. You can send somebody a card. You can see them somewhere and just say, I'm going to tell you I love you and I'm praying for you. If they see that in your eyes, Holy Ghost will nail them. Boy, there's something about love that'll get in a hard heart. They'll say, you know what? That reminds me of my grandma. I see in their eyes what I see in grandma's eyes. Now, as a little boy, God knows how to do it, don't he? But, brother, just obey the Lord, y'all.
Let's all stand. Brother Daniel said something. Burden my heart, Brother Mark. Brother J.B. Godfrey said, he said, we'll pray more to keep Grandma out of heaven than we will to keep people out of hell. I wonder if you'd bow your head tonight. Many are on the altar praying, and you'd come and pray that God would put somebody on your heart. Somebody needs Jesus Christ. We're good at having meetings. We're good at having revival meetings. But when's the last time you led somebody to Christ? When's the last time God really put your mind to where you had somebody in your family, your friend, that needed Jesus Christ? Will you come? Yes, Lord.
Lord, I'd eat and feed.
Help us,
God.